Christmas comes along with quite a lot of things. A lot of celebration, a lot of festivities, people go out, people hang out, and also there's a lot of pressure. When it comes to family pressure, basically, in terms of provision and getting things in the family, you know, demands from kids, demands from relatives, from parents. I mean, there's just too much pressure sometimes during this festive season, which sometimes leads to violence in the houses, which is not something good. Well, this morning, we are going to look at, you know, how do we go about these festivities, enjoying ourselves, meanwhile also protecting peace and being non-violent. And I'm glad to tell you that this morning here joining me in the studio, we have the executive director for non-violence organization, Mr. Moses Mande, who joins us on in the program here. Moses, good morning. Good to have you on the Miraya Breakfast
Show. Good morning to you, Sabit William, and good for having me.
Yes, Merry Christmas, let me tell you that.
Thank you. Likewise.
Yes. Yeah. It's a great holiday. It comes with a lot of course, enjoyment,
yeah,
a lot of also pressure,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and sometimes, as I said, it can be violent sometimes, yeah, if it's not, yeah, really, really handled very well.
Yeah.
First of all, what do you take of this season, like the Christmas season above all, yeah, the pressure and all that involved with it? What do you take of it?
Well, normal Christmas season comes with, it's actually a time for joy for individuals, family members, friends, mm-hmm, and, you know, colleagues to meet together and celebrate. And it actually brings families and friends together. That's, mm-hmm, the most positive part. But also for the Christians in particular, it reminds us of the death of Jesus, the birth of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And that birth is actually a sign of hope. And of course, as you said, it also comes with a lot of social and economic pressure.
Mm-hmm.
For those who are like singles, still you have your younger brothers and sisters you need to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
Those who are married, they have families and they have kids. And of course, they also have in-laws and others.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually increases economic pressure. And that's why it's very important for us to also to sort of reflect on how best can we manage,
mm-hmm,
the higher demands within the limited financial resources we have.
Absolutely.
And that's very important for us to, I think, to reflect and find a best way of dealing with it. So
great.
What I would say here is,
mm-hmm,
try to manage Christmas costs within the limited financial resources you have.
Yeah. Yes, and as we always see, when economic hardship is, yeah, been seen as one of the leading cause of violence,
yes,
you know, in families, in, yeah, society, because people tend to all grovel for the little resources they have,
yes,
and blames here and there.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of the family, really, like in the household level,
yeah,
how should people go about addressing the issue of these Christmas demands,
yeah,
and this pressure that comes with it all? How should parents handle that?
First, they have to be honest about their financial status. Like, if you know you cannot afford to buy clothes for your children and for your spouse, just be honest. Tell them, look, this is how much I have. Maybe, mm-hmm, I have 60,000. Or I have 100,000 if you're lucky. Say, look, this is what I have. And you can decide as a family, should you buy clothes for one person, or perhaps you just say, okay, maybe we buy 5 kilo of sugar and then we have tea
and rice
or whatever.
Yeah.
So you have to really be honest about yourselves and about what you have and what you can afford. And by, of course, sharing that responsibility,
mm-hmm,
some family members are likely to accept. I know some will not accept because, mm-hmm, they will always say you have something somewhere else. So that's one. Two is, we should look at Christmas not only as a feast to spend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's about preparing our mood as families, you know, to enjoy even within the little resources we have. And that's very important. And as men, and of course some women also have that responsibility, we should not take the pressure in a negative way, because some might even decide, not to show up in the family, come in the night, because avoid, you know, demands and so forth.
And we have seen that, we've heard that rather, received messages on our social media platforms and also on our text message line here, where other people saying, now I'm avoiding to go home early because the kids and the madam in the house, those are men, the one who brought for us, actually demanding, and the pressure is too much for them.
Yeah.
And we all understand as well that salaries have not been paid. For civil servants in the government sector have not been paid.
That was a press statement from the Minister of Finance. I don't know what happened with it.
Well, they said salaries were supposed to be paid, but 1 week down the road, it has not reached to the pockets.
That's very
of
unfortunate
civil servants.
Because a press statement was actually released, and everybody know about it. Normally,
and
people
that even make it worse because now people expect it to come.
Exactly,
your expectations have been raised up, and all of a sudden, the money didn't come there.
Yeah.
So yes, we all understand, and to be honest, because we've had also stories of some suicide cases happening in other parts of the country.
Oh, sorry.
And really, this economic hardship and this Christmas season, it leads to conflict sometimes.
Yeah.
Conflict is good, as someone said. It's good to have conflict.
Mm-hmm. So long as it's not violent.
Of course, that's what I want to say.
Yeah.
As long as it's not violent.
Yeah.
And 90%, as you did mention earlier, probably not 90, but most conflict can be resolved by being honest and having a conversation about it.
Yeah.
Now, how when it comes to that aspect of non-violent, what practical restraints should someone put in order to just avoid that level of going violent when it comes to some disagreements?
One is, you know, as a matter of principles, in nonviolence, you don't own, actually, you don't have monopoly on truth. Everybody has the right to express themselves. So your family members, your children, your spouse, they have the right to express their needs. That's okay. Second, you bear in mind to have respect for yourself, but also respect for your family. Don't give them that impression like they are putting pressure on you. No. Just say, look, I do understand you have these needs, and I do know that you expect me to do something, but you should also know that I have some difficulties. You know, I have some limitation when it comes to financial resources. And try to be humble, accepting the fact that, yes, they depend on you, but also tell them what is your situation. Two, nonviolence principle calls for respect to the means to an end. Like, if you want peace in your house, you try to work for that peace in a peaceful manner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't try to harass them or even get angry, you know, to defend yourself. No, this cannot help. So that's very important, and we should know that conflicts can always happen, but they don't have to be violent and destructive, because we are still a family. We are still meant to live together, even in January and beyond. And
absolutely.
So it's a matter of actually one day, you know, Christmas celebration will be over. The rest will be just to continue the celebration. So it's very important that individuals, particularly the, you know, the family, heads of the family, they should acknowledge that Christmas is here to be celebrated. Yes, but we should accept that we also have limitations. Financial limitations, as far as economists said, financial resources can always be limited. Yes, limited. Whatever.
Yes.
Even if your financial status improves, the limitation element will always be there. But we have to use it in a wise way, so that we can avoid unnecessary conflict and violence.
Great. One of the principles or one of the methods I normally use when it comes to some number of disagreement is I tend to put myself in, you know, reasoning from the other person's position, assuming I was in his place.
Yes.
Would I be, you know, pressurizing them the same way they're doing to me? Like, how important is that?
Yes.
Putting yourself in the shoe and looking from the other person's side of view.
Yes.
How important is that when it comes to resolving problems?
It is very important because, first of all, it gives assurance that my dad or my elder brother or elder sister understands my situation. You know, my daughter, a few days ago, he was also saying, She said she wanted, you know, to have this lady's hair and all this.
Terkiba.
Yeah, but I said, look, but you are still in a school. Do you really need that? Maybe you just need something very simple. Say, oh, no, my age mates are actually doing the same. So why should I look different? Then I said, okay, that's fine. Let's see what can fit for you.
Mm-hmm.
So such kind of expectation. And she said something also very important. She said, I don't have anybody to ask. It's only you, and that gives me it actually consoled my heart that wow, she knew that I am the one to help her. So
daughters,
exactly. Yes.
Put you, in that
you see,
So let's talk about because this is family, for family, from the family level, we just spoken about it.
Yes.
And, you know, understanding, very important. Please, conversation, have a conversation, which is very, very important, as you heard. And honesty, that's number one.
Yes.
You know, just be honest and tell them the truth, because what is not there is not there.
Yeah.
But let's get outside the family, because there's celebrations. People will
the
be
public,
drinking.
Yes.
The people will be drinking in the public. People will be having their alcohol and all that partying together.
Yes.
And sometimes somebody can just step on your feet and all of a sudden it goes violent and all that. Now, when it comes to this public consumption of alcohol, things that can lead people to violence, as someone from the non-violent organization, and that's, of course, what we're promoting here, how do we deal with these different people, different personalities, different mentalities, when you go out there to enjoy your festivities?
One is, we should be mindful as individuals, particularly for those who drink, be mindful that excessive drinking, it has some health implications. So you still have your family to care for. So please, if you are drinking, drink responsibly. Two, by doing so, you will actually minimize some incidents. For example, if you drive, preferably don't drink, because if you drink and you drive, you are likely to cause an accident. If you drink and you don't drive, you still know that there are people also passing by, so you might end up hitting someone. Third, it is very important that we should know that as we celebrate, we should also have respect for others. Like, for example, the roads. We have to share the road. Even when we go to public gatherings, we should also be mindful of those around us, because we are part of a community. And therefore, it is very important that individuals should bear in mind that I have responsibility to make sure that my peace should not hinder the peace of another person. Two is also, I should be mindful that I should not be the cause of violence, you know. And in case somebody steps on your toes, you can still ask the person that, hey, do you know that you have done this to me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is it okay? Please respect yourself and don't do that. So that the person can learn and never to step on someone's toes again.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that responsibility to also educate others. And we have responsibility to respect law and order, because some of this misbehavior in the public sphere is actually an offense. So if you disturb somebody's peace in a public sphere, actually you will end up being taken to the police, and it may not be good, because you might end up somewhere, you know, in the police custody.
Mm-hmm.
So let us all be responsible, and let us respect ourselves and respect others as well.
Great.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about the legal terms, because you did mention that about some of these things are crimes and all that.
Mm.
Talking about, in other countries I've gone to, and I have seen how serious they take cases of assault.
Yes.
For example, you slap someone, that is a big case. You can go to jail for that.
Yeah.
But here in South Sudan, it seems like people seem to normalize this. I mean, they don't. It's a crime, yes, on paper, but really, it's not being taken very, very serious. Where you go to the police and say, "So and so slapped me," someone says, "So."
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you just say, the police officer is wondering, and you're not hurt.
Yes.
You know. So,
yes.
How serious should this be taken when it comes to the issue of, first of all, of course, when someone is taken to police because he slapped somebody and indeed go to jail, yeah. the next time they won't slap someone. Cultivating that culture of nonviolence. Do you think our officers and the law enforcement officers are doing enough here? Or should they do more?
They should really do more because slapping is actually an offense, and because it causes physical injury and harm actually to someone. So they should take slapping very serious. And of course, they are there to provide protection. So if they cannot handle cases of assault, what are they supposed to handle? So I can understand that where we have come from in a very bad situation, you know, of when people actually lost life and so forth. And that's perhaps one contributing factor where people see slapping as something simple.
People have seen worse.
Exactly, people have seen worse than that. But now that we are in a peacetime, it is important that we should be mindful, and even during our time, we know sometimes people are actually sick. Mm-hmm. Even the people you see them walking around, some of them are sick. So you end up slapping someone, and if somebody falls down and something happened, you know, you will get actually in a worst case scenario, you know, ending up again in the police because of that. So it is very important that we be mindful, and our law enforcement agents should actually play their part, and they should ensure that everybody should be disciplined and that they respect public order. I've seen also some of them drunk, by the way. It's very unfortunate. I've seen some of them drunk. That's very unfortunate. Can citizens be empowered also to maybe to drag some of these, drunk
officers,
officers to the police? Yeah, because that's to me is not acceptable.
Absolutely. Moses, it's been nice having you here on the Mirai Breakfast. We always do appreciate your time. In less than 30 seconds, please, what would be your final message?
My final message is Christmas is here for us again to celebrate. Let us celebrate it with joy within the limited resources we have. Let us take it as a time to exchange, you know, greetings and meet with family members and friends. And that we still have January, we will still meet. And please, let us celebrate responsibly. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And I wish you a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, Moses Mande.